This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rose Oconee Historical Society. Last week I told some of the story of the Oleana and Andrew Lofgren family. I'll continue reading from their self-published family history, written by their children, telling of the work they all did to make ends meet back in the early decades of the 1900s. In the fall, Andrew and Con drove a team of horses out west to work in the large harvest fields around Stephen. It was a rough journey on meandering dirt roads. Andrew was a separator man, and therefore was paid double what other men earned. He had to be on duty an hour ahead of others to get the huge steam engine going. There were very few separator men, so he was always in demand. He knew how to fix things and worked later than others, keeping the machine in working order. 2 years later, they bought a farm in Moranville Township. They built a 1.5-story frame house. Andrew and Con had cut down the trees and had them sawed into lumber. For insulation, they used sawdust, which they could get free from the sawmill. The floors were made of birch, hardwood, narrow boards, which were scrubbed white with a scrub brush that Oleana, Inga, Agnes, and Marie wielded. Next, they built a cow barn, a horse barn, and a lean-to for hogs, also made of logs. Later, they added a tool shed and granary. The logs were fitted together so precisely, not a nail was used. Andrew carved his own axe handles, repaired the sleds and cutters, which were small sleds drawn by a small horse, and to keep our feet warm, bricks were heated in the oven, wrapped in blankets and placed on the floor. Our feet were warm in spite of 40 and 50 below zero weather. We used kerosene lamps on the farm, and we had to wash the lamp chimney every day as it became black from the fire in the lamp. Andrew built cupboards, tables, a long narrow table with two benches that could seat all 11 of us. All was done manually, by hand, without sanders, drills, nor power saws. A fence was built around the entire farm, neighbors sharing the expenses. The only accessible road meandered through the farm, and the whole community used it. They built the road on the line without help from the county, spending all summer doing it. Over an unruly creek, Bulldog Run, that flooded its banks every spring, they built a bridge out of heavy planks and logs, which they bought. They hauled and put heavy rocks on to securely anchor it and keep it from floating away at flood tide. One neighbor became angry at them for having the land surveyed. They tore out the bridge they had previously built. Later, they became the best neighbors. This job should have been done by a county, but Andrew couldn't wait that long. Later, the county paid for some planks. The men, including the young boys in the family, worked hard clearing the land, taking out trees, brush, and burning and plowing to get more land under cultivation. Andrew leased the Cannon farm to put up hay for the winter. During the cold winter, they bought timber stumpage and cut and hauled timber. In 1925, Uncle Conrad Haugen worked with them in the woods. Andrew was always introducing purebred stock into their herd of cattle and sheep. He also upgraded the breed of chickens. He and the boy sheared their sheep, packaged the wool, shipped it to the woolen mills in Litchfield, Minnesota to be made into yarn of different weights and colors of yarn. From this, Oleana would knit socks for the men and boys. Sometimes neighbors asked her to knit socks for them. These socks were needed when men worked outside in 40 degrees weather. Many visitors came to the farm as Andrew was well known, and Andrew read the Duluth Herald and was up to date on world affairs and could carry on a conversation with anyone. In July, we all rode in the spring wagon and picked blueberries among the bears. Often the mosquitoes were trying to eat us up, but we filled our pails. After a few good years, the rains came. For 3 years, the crops drowned out. One day, Andrew said, "I need $175 right now, as I am running behind on the payments on the farm." The next day, Inga met her best friend, Axelina Anderson, in town. She asked Inga if she knew where she could buy a piano for $175, as she had just inherited that amount. The thought came to Inga, "Pa needs that amount. I'll sell you mine for $175. She gave it to Pa to make the payment. H.M. Henneman, the banker who held the mortgage on the machinery, cattle, horses, etc., was pressuring Andrew for payment. In 1928, Elmer sold his late model 1927 Ford Roadster and gave all his money to pay the notes at the bank. Finally, they could go on no longer, so had another auction sale, selling cattle, horses, machinery, furniture, and everything. In those days, there were no federal assistance programs as it is today. In spite of hard knocks, Andrew and Oleana had faith in the Lord and his love for them. They were thankful for the good health of their large family, which meant more to them than material things. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.